Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, joined by Dan Foster, news editor at National Review Online, joining me from the Republican National Convention in Tampa, which has finally started. And Dan, that's where our good martini leads us off with today, with a kind of a double shot of a martini, if we can say that. I'm not sure the metaphor works perfectly, but either way, we
a got a very, very dry martini.
Exactly right. Great speeches, I thought, from a lot of different people, even the people who didn't necessarily, make it as the headliners of the night. I thought Nikki Haley was good. I thought Scott Walker was good. I thought Arthur Davis, the former Democratic congressman from Alabama, was good. And I thought others were good as well. Ted Cruz, the Senate candidate with no teleprompter, as far as I could see, just kind of walking around on the stage and talking about the American dream.
You know what I said about that, Greg? Sorry to interrupt. I said there was no teleprompter. There was no podium in the Constitution, so there was no podium in Ted Cruz's speech. So I like to think about it.
Yeah, there you go. That worked out very well. And there was a great theme throughout the night. The theme was "We did build it." You talked about you saw all these different candidates whose parents or grandparents, or in some cases themselves, came from extremely humble beginnings, built a business, followed the American dream, saw it realized, and then several of them brought out current business owners who are clearly not politicians. When you listen to them speak, but they had very heartfelt stories to tell. Obviously, the headliners of the evening were Ann Romney and Chris Christie. Ann Romney's job was to, quote-unquote, humanize Mitt Romney. Apparently, people aren't quite sure if he's human or not, but here's just a couple of clips that she had from her speech.
I can't tell you what will happen over the next 4 years, but I can only stand here tonight as a wife and a mother and a grandmother, an American, and make you this solemn commitment. This man will not fail. This man will lift up America.
So there you go. She talked a lot about how they met at a dance and how he's always been there for her, and how they, when he was in college, they ate dinner on a fold-out ironing board, which certainly flies in the face of this kid with a silver spoon in his mouth. Dan, I would have liked a few more stories on the personal side. She mentioned that, you know, we don't talk about a lot what nice things he does for other people because it's a privilege. It's not a talking point, but somebody's got to tell those stories about how he rescued that person from the lake, how he shut down Bain to help look for the missing daughter of a coworker and things like that. So I thought a couple of missed opportunities, but overall, Ann Romney, very, very likable and can only help.
Yeah, you know, I would say that I would wait until tonight to make a judgment about that criticism you just leveled, because if you look at the breakdown of the convention schedule, tonight is going to be, they're going to nominate Paul Ryan tonight, if I'm not mistaken, but there also is going to be an emphasis on proxies for Romney telling stories like that. So I would look for those anecdotes there tonight, and then we'll see maybe if the opportunity was missed. As far as the substance of her speech, I just thought it was a home run. And she's a great public speaker. She's beautiful. She's very, very personable. And I thought she did a really nice job. And the way I put it last night in the National Review media room was that the point of the speech was basically, if he's good enough for Ann, well, I guess he's good enough for me. That's what that speech wanted America to take away, you know, swing voters, is that we like Ann Romney. Ann Romney loves Mitt Romney. I guess we can tolerate Mitt Romney. this was their pitch to the undecided voter, and I thought it was very effective. And I thought that line you mentioned about how, service to others is a privilege and not a political talking point was quite powerful. The weaker part of her speech was the first half, where they felt the need to use Ann Romney as a major piece of the counterattack in the war on women. Which that part of the speech was much less effective, but the fact that the second part was so good means that not many people are really talking about that part of the speech.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think they tried a little too hard in that part of the speech, but overall she came off very well. We'll get back to that speech in just a little bit. Right after the soft touch of Ann Romney, we got Chris Christie. You can't really have too much greater of a contrast in styles, and here's a clip of Christie's speech.
Now, I have an answer tonight for the skeptics and the naysayers, the dividers and the defenders of the status quo. I have faith in us. I know we can be the men and women our country calls on us to be tonight. I believe in America and our history, and there's only one thing missing now: leadership. It takes leadership that you don't get from reading a poll. You see, Mr. President, real leaders don't follow polls. Real leaders change polls.
Yeah, great speech by Christie in a lot of ways. He's the keynote speaker. He, I think, did a good job, Dan, of setting the tone in the war of big ideas between the two parties. Here's why we're right. Here's why they're wrong. I expected a little more from him in terms of specifics. Here's what the president's done wrong. Here's what Romney will do right. There wasn't as much of that. There was some criticism that Christie made the speech too much about him and not enough about Romney. I think that's a little bit overblown. Overall, Chris Christie just comes across as very genuine and very clear to understand.
Part of what you have to understand is that not only is this an appeal to swing voters about Mitt Romney, but it's also, you know, especially the first half of the convention, is about firing up the Republicans who are there in the room, and the Republicans are watching the speech across the country. And so I didn't really mind the extent to which Christie's speech was about big ideas and not Mitt Romney personally. There was some disagreement about that in our press room last night, but I thought it was good. And the other thing that there was some controversy about was that Ann Romney's speech was explicitly about love, as she said, and Chris Christie explicitly said that he'd take respect over love. But I didn't see that as a conflict. I thought it was a good 1-2 punch. It was like following up, you know, champagne with moonshine or something. And Christie, you know, made, you know, showed, I think, after Romney that they used to call the Republican Party the daddy party, but what they were going for with that combination was that, hey, the Republicans can be the mommy and the daddy party. And I thought they showed both sides, you know, particularly well. I mean, Ann Romney as sort of the Republican ideal of a mommy, not necessarily a nanny, but a mommy. So I thought that the combination was effective. I thought Christie's speech was good. It was a little rushed at the end because I think he was trying to get it in the primetime hour. So it seemed like he sped up a little too much at the end. But overall, very good night for the GOP.
Yeah, I think it's a good start. And we'll see what Paul Ryan, he's certainly going to be the speaker that I'm most interested in hearing from tonight. I think America will get a much better look at him tonight than most Americans have in the past. And I'm excited for that because I'm confident he's not going to disappoint in that department. Let's move to martini number two now. And one of the things the convention does, in addition to obviously nominating candidates for president and vice president and putting a platform together, which we talked about yesterday, there's also rules that they go over. And this is kind of the arcane stuff that the networks don't cover unless you're watching C-SPAN. And one of the things that happened yesterday on the floor was the RNC trying to change the rules on how delegates are selected. Critics, especially Ron Paul supporters, but many conservatives saying the party's being too heavy-handed. They're taking away the rights of the grassroots organizations, putting too much in the hands of primary results, party bosses, candidates themselves. Ultimately, the RNC won. The Paul folks stormed off the floor. The main delegation in particular was not happy. So, I mean, intra-party fights happen all the time. That's what primary seasons are about and so forth, Dan. But a little bit uglier than usual when it comes to a rules debate.
It was bad, and I'll tell you, I honestly see both sides of the debate. I tend to lean in the direction of the Ron Paul supporters, although not on any other issue besides this. and, you know, I think that it's important. But one thing that did occur to me yesterday is that you know, Democrats and liberals often say, well, the Republican Party is beholden to its wing nut crazed grassroots activists. And if anything, this showed that there's at least an ongoing and I think very healthy struggle between the national apparatus, which has the organization, the broad outreach, the bigger tent, and the real firebrand conservative grassroots operatives. Which have, of course, enthusiasm and the better ideological purity. So I like that there's a little struggle. And again, to recycle a line I used in the press room yesterday, if this floor fight was covered at all on any of the networks, they'd probably cover it as chaos or suppression in the GOP rather than something interesting actually happens at a convention. You know, real democratic deliberation, an actual vote that means something, protest. You know, so I was excited by it, actually. I don't know if it came out the right way, but I think that the process itself is healthy.
That kind of open debate is good, even if it doesn't turn out necessarily the way you want it to. And that takes us to martini number three, which kind of takes us back to martini number one. Ann Romney's speech was followed by Chris Christie. And then, as always happens, those who cover it tell us what they think about it, about what we all just saw. And so Fox News Channel was no different. Charles Krauthammer loved Ann Romney's speech. Britt Hume thought it was the greatest speech ever given by a political spouse. Juan Williams, not so much.
Ann Romney, on the other hand, looked to me like a corporate wife. And, you know, the story she told about struggles, it's hard for me to believe. I mean, she's a very rich woman. And I know that in America knows that.
Wow. Okay.
What does that mean, corporate wife?
What does it mean? It looks like a woman whose husband takes care of her, and she's been very lucky and blessed in this life. She's not speaking, I think, for the tremendous number of single women in this country or married women or separate. She's not speaking. She did not convince me that, you know what, I understand the struggles of American women in general.
You usually don't see Bret Baier speechless in the middle of a comment like that, but he was there. Juan Williams trying to later say that this was just about that Ann Romney's so rich she can't really understand some of the problems that poor folks go through. But the line in there that I thought was the most hysterical was like, she's rich. What would she know about struggles? That's going to be rough. I'm sure Juan Williams is taking plenty of heat for that, rightly so. Yes, they've been very financially successful, but as we've already established many times, Mitt Romney did build that along with others at Bain Capital. She's gone through health struggles, raising five kids, did all that debate through the Hillary Rosen controversy. That's just a pretty cheap shot.
You know that Williams put his foot in his mouth when they came back from a commercial break and Bret Baier felt the need to say that Juan Williams wasn't replaced on the panel by Peggy Noonan because of his corporate wife comment, that they just wanted to bring in a new panelist. He needed to, you know, Juan Williams has a bit of a history with being replaced for comments. So Bret Baier felt the need to clarify that. I thought it was a low blow, and it also didn't mean anything. I mean, I don't know what he was going after, besides the fact that you sort of think of the generic political wife as kind of flat and kind of a vessel for her husband and kind of regurgitating talking points and trying to humanize him. Whereas Ann Romney, I think, broke that mold, and that was the at least transcended it. I mean, she was engaged in the same operation, but she was really good at it. And I think that's the takeaway that a lot of other people came away from it with. So, you know, Williams, definitely an outlier, sort of shocked the panel there. And I think most of the people who are watching did not see that speech. I thought Ann Romney did a very good job of showing that just because you've got money now doesn't mean you've lived a life of ease, and doesn't mean that it wasn't without struggle.
Yeah, well said. Dan, hope you're well rested for an exciting 2 days to come. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks a lot, Greg.
Daniel Foster is news editor at National Review Online, joining us from the Republican National Convention in Tampa. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.